video and presentation on stage two, our quarterly update for LRT. So we have Michael Morgan, who is doing the presentation. Mr. Manconi sends his regrets. He's not able to be here due to a family issue. So we'll go over to Michael Morgan. Michael, are you there? You are right there. Good morning.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We I think the video should be queued up, and we'll start with the video, and then I'll walk through the normal slide deck and give you an update on the design and the rest of the works.
All right. Is there sound with the video, or is it? Are you doing a commentary? Is it just us watching it?
There's a bit of a soundtrack that goes with it.
Okay. Here we go.
I don't know if there's supposed to be sound, but I can't hear anything.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, we're asking Alan Hublius' chair to hum. Apparently there's sound, but we can't hear it. But anyways, we can imagine a beautiful soundtrack of Muzak.
So that video will be available shortly to share, and you'll hear it online with the music, hopefully, when it comes out. So I do have a slide deck. So Carol, if you put up the slide deck, I'll go through that quickly and provide some narrative around the work that's been ongoing and the progress that we've been making.
Hey, it's up there, Michael. Go ahead.
Perfect. So if we just go to so put it in the presentation mode, great. And then we skip right ahead. We're going to start with the Trillium line, and we'll go to slide three, We'll talk a little bit about the design progress. So, you know, there's several hundred designers working away for Transit Next, getting to the final stages of design. So we have issued for construction drawings. The design sequence is preliminary designs, final designs, construction designs, and issued for construction. So a lot of the rail bridges that you can see kind of throughout the neighborhood and Riverside South and Airport Parkway and other places are well advanced. Their designs are well advanced. We go to slide 4. The next kind of set of packages that are coming through, airport station, guideway work, we're seeing those final designs come through, and then a variety of structures on kind of the northern or existing section of the alignment. Go to slide 5. Still looking at some final, so this is kind of, I would say, the 60 to 80% design packages. Dalles Lake Tunnel is getting a massive upgrade, upgrading the tunnel ventilation system and a variety of other things. The new vehicles from Stadler have undergone their final design, so that's progressing nicely. And then we go to slide 6. You know, still some work to be done on the track layout in the maintenance yard, trying to kind of optimize that so it works well for our in-service period. Signaling train control, looking at a Siemens solution for the signaling system, which looks to be very good. We're into the pre-final on some of these stations. This is essentially just the preliminary design of some of these stations, and I know there's some discussion that we've been having with those stations and improvements that we can make, and then the communication systems as well. If we go to slide 7, talk a little bit about just the progress. So kind of a big milestone for the project this summer was to complete the rock excavation at Gladstone Station. We're starting to see the Walkley Maintenance Facility kind of grow out of the ground as well. That's coming together nicely. And then I've got some photos here on some of the work at Elwood Diamond, just to give you a sense of how much work is involved at that location. And then recently, South Keys, we've broken ground on that station, and Bowesville Station, if you drive past that future park and ride, you can start to see the piles going into the ground at that location for that the buildup of that station as well. On slide 8, some additional progress. You know, for all of these rail bridges, we've seen a lot of progress over the summer with the bridge girders going up and the embankments being built up to those bridges. And so a lot of progress. If you were able to do a flyover closer to the airport, you would see that the guideway is coming together nicely. So we're seeing good progress across the line, and we're into the first bit of rail welding. I don't have a date for when the first track is going to be laid, but all the long strings of rail are being put together now, which is a good sign for the project. Go to slide 9. Just gives you a bit of a before and after of Gladstone Station. So back in May when we closed the Trillium Line North, and then just kind of a photo of August where we are now in terms of the excavation and the preparation for future Gladstone Station. The next slide shows you Elwood Diamond. So this is a grade separation of the between the Trillium Line traffic and the Via Rail traffic. As you can see, I've highlighted three bridges that kind of are all in sequence there: Sawmill Creek Bridge, Transitway Bridge, and then the actual rail diamond. So we're creating a massive structure that's going to go over all three of those locations. The Transitway Bridge comes out. Sawmill Creek Rail Bridge comes out as well, so that all gets rebuilt. So there's a lot of activity at that location. It's kind of tucked away. You can't see it from the road, but a lot of work to get that done. That'll be a great outcome for this project. You go to the next slide. We just have a highlight of the Walkley Maintenance Facility, so they're slowly kind of putting it together piece by piece. Next slide shows South Keys Station. So we broke ground there recently. You know, this is going to be a very interesting station because this is where the transfers happen for the airport link. So there'll be a lot of track work. There's a lot of utilities and culverts in this area, so it's a pretty dense area for construction. And it also provides a critical link down to the NRC facility. So that's kind of has us on a critical path to get that completed so we can restore freight deliveries to the National Research Council. The next few slides, slide 13 shows the Leicester Rail Bridge. So this is, you know, just very close to that NRC facility, but this is a good location. We're essentially eliminating an at-grade crossing at this location. We do have buses that go through here, so and traffic. So that's a very good outcome for the project at that location. Leitrim Rail Bridge on the next slide, slide 14. So there's a very long structure here that we've built. Essentially, we're going over Leitrim Road, and then basically coming down just enough to go to Leitrim Station, future station. So a very long structure at that location. If we go to 15, we see the Bowesville Rail Bridge. So some of the night work that took place when the road was closed to put the girders in place. We're continuing to build up the guideway that meets this location, and then we need to do some topping work on top of that location to make it ready for the secondary works for the platform and the tracks and the rest of it. The next one, Limebank Station. So this is going to be a big structure at this location. So this is going to be the elevated station. You see the initial caissons in place there for the station. It's going to go over the road at this location and then drop back down for the 3 kilometer connection back to Bowesville. Go to slide 17. We see the airport Parkway Rail Bridge. So a lot of work there to get that done. That was a success. They were able to get that those girders in overnight without any issues. So we're very happy with the progress we're seeing there. Slide 18, Uplands Rail Bridge. You see they're starting to put on the precast panels on top in preparation for building up the rest of that structure to support the train traffic. So the Trillium Line is characterized by all these rail bridges, and they've gone up very quickly over the summer. You know, there's a couple more to do. So we go to slide 19, we'll talk about some upcoming work. Some critical things that are happening: we need to do some additional blasting, rock excavation at Carling Station to lengthen Carling Station, as well as between Beach Street and the 417. We need to do some widening to allow more double track in that area. As I spoke about the caisson excavation and the Elwood Diamond Rail Bridge, which is a big part of the project. The Walkley facilities coming along nicely. Next big kind of physical change that people will see is the Hunt Club Rail Bridge. We need to start that. There's currently a single track rail bridge over that location. We're going to add a second track as well as a multi-use pathway or pedestrian bridge at that location. So Hunt Club will have very good connectivity as well as a double track rail across that location. And we'll start to see the stations. All the foundations are going to be coming online soon. We've already seen work at South Keys and Bowesville. Uplands will be starting soon as well. In terms of traffic and mobility impacts, on slide 20, obviously the biggest one was closing line 2. And so that will be closed until we open the system in a couple of years. A variety of multi-use pathways have been affected, trying to put in good detours with good signage to get around those locations. Obviously, Carlton Station, there's a bridge there we want to rehabilitate with the multi-use pathway underneath. Gladstone, Carling, a couple of changes coming up there. Carling, the big one being at Carling Station, where we need to do the rock excavation, and the multi-use pathway is essentially right adjacent to the rock cut. So some important detours there to allow that work to progress. Slide 21, you'll see a couple more things that are coming up. The Muppet South Keys, that's already on detour at Walkley. There'll be a detour just behind the hotel there on that MUP because we need space to build Walkley Station. And Brookfield MUP, as we go to build the via grade separation, there'll be some impacts at that location that we need to manage as well. So that's the update on the Trillium Line. And so if we go to the next slide, I'll talk about some of the work that's happening in the east. So in terms of the design updates on slide 23, starting to get into these construction drawings for some of the stations, which is really good. Roadway drainage works. We're going to start to see a lot of additional roadway work in the east between Montreal Road and Champlain Bridge coming in the next couple of months. And so getting those construction drawings in place is critical to that. Go to slide 24, some final designs that we're working on. Track and guideway, the overall design, some of the existing bridges need some rehabilitation work. The Montreal Station Bridge, we built the bridges adjacent to Montreal Station, and now we need to focus on the design for the station itself. Traction power, overhead catenary train control and signaling. And so, it's really great to see those packages advancing, well in advance of when we're going to be starting that work, but, paves the way for smooth construction work later on the project, which is really good. Slide 25. We're starting to get to the point where we start have some insights as to the public artwork and how that's going to feed in. I know we've been working very closely with the public art team and with the builders for the Confederation Line extensions to get some updates there. So there'll be something coming out potentially later this year, some updates that they can provide. Slide 26, some of the progress that we've been seeing or you're going to see. The Montreal Interchange, I'll show you some pictures of that. There's a lot of work been happening there, widening at Greens Creek. And then there's a series of things right near Blair Station. There's a lot of activity between Blair and Montreal Road. There's a lot of activity there. On to slide 27, show you some of the actual construction photos. So this is actually, so on the right-hand side, you see the bus transitway connection that goes over the road. We're essentially going to mimic that same type of structure, but for a rail line, and it's going to drop into the middle of the 174. You see in the distance, you see a crane there that's putting in the caissons that's going to support that structure. So the widening in this entire area is all about supporting that flyover to get the trains from Blair Station into the median of the 174. If you go to slide 28, you can see from a ground level, a lot of paving activity, a lot of detours kind of that go into place pretty quickly in and out. They've been making a lot of changes in this area. You go to the next slide, Montreal Road. The big push is to get traffic flipped onto the new Montreal Road bridge. On slide 30, you'll see the structure that's come into place there. Just in the top of the screen, you see kind of a dump truck traveling through the existing roadway. We need to move all that traffic onto the new structure on either side so we can get into the middle and build up Montreal Station. If you go to slide 31, we have a bit of a before and after shot of where we were in May and then the build up to August, where we have now the structures in place and we're putting the precast panels and starting to get ready to pave that section and to move traffic onto those new road bridges. In terms of upcoming work, so you're going to continue to see a lot of work between Blair Station and Greens Creek, the widening of the highway. That's going to kind of increase in intensity once you go further east from Greens Creek. They're going to start doing additional widening, additional work all along the 174. So you're going to be able to see the work and the progress very tangibly in the coming month or so. In terms of the next slide, 33, the impacts. I think we've seen the impacts. We were able to kind of reduce Montreal Road over the summer and restore it to the four-lane configuration just recently, a few weeks ago, which was very good, ahead of Labor Day, which we're very pleased with that progress and the ability to kind of restore the road to its original configuration. So that's in the east. The big work is really by the end of November. We're expecting to see that all the road traffic moved onto the new bridges and that center, the existing center bridge torn down to make way for the Montreal Station construction. We go on to the west. Go on to slide 35, talk a little bit about the design progress. So obviously the Parkway Tunnel, we've seen some final submissions on that for some early works. There's a variety of bridges. Trillium Line is characterized by rail bridges. Confederation Line is characterized by road bridges, and so a little bit more work involved with those. Series of utility works and detour works that all have gone to essentially construction drawings, final construction drawings. On to slide 36, we see still the progression, you know, variety of structures, a baseline bus operator building. We're going to start working on a new facility there shortly, and a variety of, you know, drainage work, utility works, the type of stuff that you would expect at this stage of the project. On to slide 37, see a little bit about kind of the progress. I think there's roughly 70 design packages that are under review now. So there's a lot of work for the team, a lot of work for third-party stakeholders to kind of keep up to speed on the activity that's been happening and on all the design work. Slide 38, some pre-finals. We're starting to see the station packages come in, which is good. Some final roadway drainage works, pedestrian bridges, obviously Queensview Pedestrian Bridge, Greens Creek Pedestrian Bridge. There's a number of bridges and underpasses that are being added to the project. Are included in the project. Go on to slide 39. Some of the construction progress that you've seen, you know, we're going full blast at Moody for the LMSF facility, Byron Linear Park. Things are, you know, there's been a lot of prep work, a lot of fencing and lay down area preparation that's been happening over the last few months. That area is going to really increase in intensity in the coming days. Lincoln Fields has been a hive of activity as they build a structure there. And then a variety of things over at Iris Station, Pinecrest Pond. So work all across the West, which is very good. And I'll show you some photos of that in a second. On slide 40, some final comments about some upcoming activity. Lincoln Field Station, so we are getting ready, starting to do the preparations for some of the bus detours in that area. We do have to tear down the existing Lincoln Field Station and build a new rail station. So there'll be a variety of detours through that area over the coming years as we build out the new station. In terms of some of the photos, slide 41 shows a pretty complex area. So Iris Station, Iris Road Bridge, there's culvert work, there's a variety of things that need to happen in this area, including putting the buses on detour. So this is kind of a big focus of the project right now. If you go to slide 42, you see the Moody Light Maintenance and Storage Facility. In the distance, there's a couple of cranes and we're putting in some foundations. There is a small creek at that end of the facility. And so we need to obviously create a few small bridges to get over that creek and keep it intact. And so that's the work that's progressing there now. Go on to slide 43, you see Connaught. So this is in the foreground on the left. You see that's the Pinecrest bus facility. And you can kind of get a sense of where the tunnel is coming through there. If you draw a diagonal line from the park through to just the right-hand side of the bus facility, that's where the Connaught tunnel is going to go. So it's going to cut under that residential neighborhood before it pops up adjacent to the highway. You go on to slide 44, Lincoln Fields, a variety of work here. This photo is not, just some caissons being put in place, but if you see on slide 45, you kind of get a better sense of some of the work that's ongoing. So again, the rail line is going to, from the bottom of the page, pop out from the Parkway Tunnel, cut through across Lincoln Fields, and then split before it drops back down into the tunnel on the other, the Connaught Tunnel. So essentially, a vertical line through the middle of this page is where the train is going to be running in the future. If we go to slide 46, you see some of the preparation, the setup for New Orchard Station. And so the station excavation is probably some of the bigger activity where we need to do just the cut and cover tunnel for the trains, we can kind of maintain the width, but where you need to do excavation for the two tunnels or tunnel stations, Cleary and New Orchard, you need a lot more width. And so there's a lot more impacts on the roadway and tightening up. And so a bunch of work that we need to do in this area in terms of optimizing pedestrian crossings and optimizing bus locations, and while also still accommodating all the construction work that needs to take place in this area. You go to slide 47, we see Goldenrod Bridge. So this is where, if you look out past the end of Tunney's Pasture Station, you see a roadblock or a train block there, a small road that's on a hill. So we're going to put in a bridge there. Obviously, that's an obstruction to the rail line, and this will be kind of the start of construction into the rest of the transitway. But a bridge needs to go in there first. We'll put buses on detour, just a slight detour through this area once that new bridge is in place, just to allow the track construction to continue in this area. In terms of some of the upcoming work on slide 48, so the cut and cover tunnel, that is one of the critical pieces of the project in the West, is starting soon. Lincoln Fields, there'll be some very visible progress. We see that once they get the caissons in the ground, they're able to put the pier caps up quickly and put the girders in quickly, and you see some very tangible progress, and so that will be a big change to that neighborhood. Still looking at, a lot of material needs to be moved out for the two tunnels, and so we are putting in a temporary hauling road at Queensview Station to avoid having to go through the residential neighborhoods, a variety of utility protections, Iris traffic realignment to continue the construction there, and then some other water main relocations. You go to slide 49, we start to see some of the traffic mobility impacts. So the SJAM basically handed over now. It's the current configuration is out of the way of the tunnel construction, and so we can start down that path and start with that work. A series of off-peak closures on Richmond Road, Lincoln Field Station, there'll be a series of detours as we move through there. Iris Street, a variety of impacts already to date, but obviously once we need to put the buses on detour around that area, that next year there'll be some larger impacts. So that's kind of the construction in the West. If I talk about the two fleets of vehicles that we're ordering, stage two, Alstom Citadis vehicles. So we've accepted four of them. Those four are now in service. We are starting to see additional vehicles come out of the Brampton facility. So if you go to slide 51, it shows just a quick shot of the Brampton facility. As you know, a number of the vehicles are going to be built at that location and then shipped or trucked to Ottawa. I believe the first one may have trucked in this weekend. But they are making good progress. They did slow down temporarily for COVID, but they're back up and running again. Slide 52, talk a little bit about the Stadler Flirt vehicles. And so this is, again, I think I spoke previously that this is really the crux of the Trillium Line project is seeing these vehicles arrive in 2021. You know, that's going to be kind of a big indicator for the success of that project. Manufacturing is set to begin later this year. And once we have some visuals of that, we'll be sure to share that. Slide 53, stakeholder engagement. You know, with the onset of COVID, we moved all of our consultations online. A number of those were very successful. You know, we're going to continue. We need to do a number of additional consultations as we start to see some additional information come out of the two design teams. And so we're going to continue with those. And continue providing as much information as we get as we can with the community and with the counselors for their respective areas as the information is brought forward from the two design teams. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I'll take questions if there are any on the progress or the general update.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Morgan. It's a good presentation. Councillor Hubley is the first up. Alan, just unmute yourself.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I want to thank Michael for the excellent presentation. Michael, can you just confirm that our schedules are still intact? We haven't had any significant delays identified as yet to the Stage 2 project due to COVID or anything?
Yeah, you know, I think that appreciating, for example, the Brampton facility had a bit of a stop and a start due to COVID in a general kind of slowdown. We're still monitoring the impacts to see kind of what the long-term outcomes are. You know, as I said, on the Trillium Line, wanting to see those trains, you know, arrive next year, whenever I check in and ask about that, it seems like that's still on schedule. And so no issues there. Those obviously will be a big indicator for us on that. In the east, you know, the crux of that project has always been Montreal Road. And we did, you know, asset management and drinking water services and public works, you know, worked with us and gave us a lot of support in getting some critical work done this past week through that area. And so the builder, you know, absolutely had a hard deadline of cutting over that roadway this year and getting into the middle of that road to be able to kind of take down, start building Montreal Road. Or start building Montreal Station. And so that looks to be good. They're going to be able to do that this winter. And so, you know, there's impacts, but, you know, we're managing those impacts and, you know, everyone's on board to deliver as required.
Thank you. And you're also doing quarterly updates to council, correct?
Quarterly written updates and quarterly presentations as well. Yeah.
Okay. And a copy of this presentation will be circulated to council?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Brockington, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Mr. Morgan. I just want to say to the committee that Mr. Morgan has come into the South End and provided presentations. And he's always been extremely good and detailed and thorough. And I'm very pleased with his leadership on this file. So thank you for your presentation. How are we tracking progress of our contractors? So the issue with Stage 1 was, you know, they really didn't have a good sense of the amount of time each task took and couldn't follow their progress. But are we being much more stringent, much more focused on, here's what you're working on. They're telling us it's going to take 30, 60, 90 days to complete following up. Are we much more ingrained this time, this round?
Yeah, I you know, I think one of the big changes is that we have a construction team that we've had in the field from the start, dedicated just to monitoring the activity. monitoring, issues, keeping track of, when they run into a hiccup, that we're aware of what that hiccup is, and we can kind of stay, stay on top of them in terms of ensuring that they resolve that. So I think that's a big difference. We're also trying to kind of have these key checkpoints where we know, like on the Trillium line, for example, those vehicle deliveries being a key checkpoint, on the west, the cut and cover tunnel, wanting to see that start on time. The east, getting that Montreal road progress over the last couple of months has been key. Having people kind of on the ground full-time checking certainly helps us kind of inform the schedule, ensure that we know what's happening in the field, and we can kind of be more educated about what are the mitigations, what are the opportunities, where do they need help, where can we push them along.
Okay, the south end line, the Trillium line, is supposed to open in 2022, a year and two ahead of the west and east lines. I didn't see any pictures about Walkley Station, but to the chair's question, the south end is on schedule, on time, where we're at, where we want to be right now for construction of all the major stations?
So I think, when we look at the south end, that entire line, I think that, Gladstone, we've made very good progress there. The Via Diamond, good progress there. South Keys, we've seen, we have an issue with kind of an intermediate deadline at South Keys where we want to be able to restore that freight line to get deliveries back to the NRC. And so that's a bit of a pressure because that's a complicated location. I think the fact that the rail bridges kind of all came up very quickly, we're very pleased to see that. Leitrim is kind of another key one. We're tracking that one closely. It has some impacts on water mains, and we obviously, aren't going to do nothing to impact the water delivery to Riverside South. And so we're being very cautious about that in a pragmatic way. So, I think we're happy with where we are. We see a couple, we're kind of monitoring about the NRC, that NRC issue, and then monitoring a little bit about the progress at the airport, because obviously we want to be in lockstep with the airport and the work they're doing on their side. So a lot of attention on the project on north and south.
Can you give us an update on the new road being built on the Carleton campus and the outlet from Bronson Avenue, please?
So my team isn't leading that particular work. I know that I went by there a few days ago, and it was originally, I believe, scheduled to be back into service. The idea was that it was going to support the detours for stage two with the September start of service. I would have to get back to you on the actual date on when they plan to open that road.
I think Councillor Menard and I have had some recent questions about when this road will be completed and, in service, to and from Bronson Avenue. So just get an update there. And I don't think you can speak to R2 replacement bus service numbers. Maybe that's for Pat Scrimger, but do you have any sense of whether this service is being fully subscribed or not?
As you say, I would have to check in with Pat on that detour to understand, if it's working well or if there's any issues and what the uptake is.
My last request, and then I'm done, is there's a lot of work in River Ward from the Rideau River at Carleton University all the way to Hunt Club Road and all points in the middle. And I'm starting to receive within the last 30 days some surprise closures of multi-use pathways that I was not aware of that's coming. Is it possible for us just to meet offline and we can go through some of the major issues that are coming over the next season or two just to make sure that we're on the same page as far as the work that's being done?
Absolutely. I've asked, working with the comms and stakeholder team on the project, we are planning to organize kind of structured or scheduled meetings with each of the affected wards to go through just that type of information.
Excellent.
On a routine basis.
Excellent. That'd be great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Leeper, please.
Thanks, Mayor. Michael, thank you very much for a good comprehensive overview of where we are. I do want to come back to the same thread of questioning that Councillors Hubley and Brockington had, which is making sure that we are on time. Obviously, that was something that we didn't keep close enough track of over the course of building stage one. You mentioned that you have a number of checkpoints. Are there any checkpoints? Which checkpoints have you not met yet? Or has the constructor not met yet? What elements are behind where you expected them to be?
So the Trillium line has two intermediate checkpoints. One to be able to restore freight traffic to the NRC, and one to do a handover of a loading dock at the airport. And so those two checkpoints are, you know, on that project have not been met. And so we're following up closely on that, working with the NRC to find mitigations and working with the airport just to make sure that, you know, what the impacts are and, you know, what support they need. So those are two things that that we've been following closely. You know, on the east, I think, you know, Montreal Road, big success, you know, still looking, you know, looking ahead to getting that cut over by the end of November. So still monitoring that one. And then in the west, it's, you know, it's those tunnels, you know, wanting to make sure those tunnels go in and are built. You know, that's the complicated piece with the tunnel ventilation system, all the electrical systems running through there. And so that's still a little ways off. You know, we've got some things in our control that kind of work to our advantage. You know, we are 4 vehicles into the order of stage 2 vehicles. And so we've got a fleet of 38 vehicles that we're starting with now that will have a lot of mileage on them. That will be, you know, we'll have the benefit of time and reliability improvements on those by the time we go into stage 2. We've got I see the cooperation between Rideau Transit Maintenance and OC Transpo, the rail operations staff, the rail control staff. You know, their skills and ability in terms of operating system, you know, that's definitely going to put us in a different position than we were in stage 1. So I think that just the ability for us to kind of react to issues and respond to issues is going to be much different in stage 2.
Was all the site prep completed on time in the West?
The site prep?
Yeah, so getting ready for construction of the tunnel.
I mean, I think that the big one was, you know, getting the SGM Parkway detour put in place. I think, you know, that was critical to getting that work done. In terms of some of the other kind of works through Byron Linear Park, you know, we still need a little bit of cleanup with some of the bus stops and some of that coordination. And so that's where we are today. But they're ready to go. They're going to be, you know, increasing the level of intensity of the construction works for that tunnel shortly.
Will it begin when you expected it to begin?
I don't have that particular checkpoint was not on, you know, I don't think that I had a hard start for that. The prep works, you know, started when we expected it to, but I don't, in terms of the actual excavation, I didn't have a hard date on that I was following.
Okay, I mean, I think it's important that we get some of these sort of information as details, breaking down those checkpoints so that we do understand immediately whether or not there are any red flags, so that we avoid a repeat of being caught by surprise like I think we were on stage 1. But thank you very much for the work that you're doing in terms of stakeholder engagement. Thanks to the stakeholder engagement team as well for keeping us in the loop of what's coming up next. I know these seem a little chaotic on the outside, but I think your team is doing a good job of keeping us as informed as we can.
Okay. Great.
Thanks, Mayor.
Councillor. Councillor Cavanaugh, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morgan, and thank you for all the work you're doing in Bay Ward. We've got a lot happening, as everyone could see, and it's good for me to see that big picture and see what's going on across the city. It's a lot, and in our area, we're probably I dare say we're probably the closest to homes, and that's sort of been a touch point because. There's still concerns in terms of sound and of sound barriers, et cetera. We're working on berms. We're working on other mitigation. I just wanted to get an update on how that's going.
In terms of the long-term plan, for example, you mentioned the berms. You know, there was an idea introduced earlier in the year to build these berms to create some, you know, noise barriers and visual barriers to that flyover in Lincoln Fields. You know, I think that there was initial pressure to do that quickly, but we paused the pressure on the speed, and the team is now working to do some technical consultations. They want to do some public consultations on those designs and make sure that, you know, there's a series of technical issues between utilities and lighting and various things that need to be matched with also, you know, outcomes in terms of visual barriers, noise, and that type of thing. So, you know, we're looking at doing those consultations kind of this fall, and I know the design team is looking at having something next year. You know, that's kind of, that's the berms, and that's mitigating that issue in that particular location. I have been working with others on the noise in the rock cut to see if there's a mitigation there. We have a request for materials that went out. I think it closes later this week to give us some opportunity for improvements in the transitway, where we've seen some noise issues. And then obviously with the stage one rectification plan, which I won't go into detail now, they are working on noise issues and wheel rail interface issues to see how they can improve that and minimize that. So when it does go into service in your area and through all the areas of the city, it is quieter than it has been.
That's great to hear. I don't know how we can get sort of sampling of so that we know what it actually sounds like and what the decibels would be like. But the more information we can get, the better to give the community. And I appreciate there has been reach out, and look forward to continuing to work with you. So I expect we'll be having a community meeting very soon on this. And I appreciate that Kev has hired a communications lead to help us out. I think one of the big things is that there's just so much going on. We need information in a timely fashion because it's happening so fast. And it's just sort of normal that you find out a memo that something's going to happen tomorrow, and the whole community has to be prepped for this is happening like tomorrow. I'm wondering if we can have weekly updates to, even if it's briefings for my office, to keep the surprise element down.
Yeah, we've definitely agreed to do structured meetings on a routine basis, and we can talk to the team about how to do that and what the agenda needs to be for those sessions.
Okay. Anyway, I appreciate it, and we'll be in touch for sure. Thank okay. you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Dudas, please.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to thank you, Michael, and your team. You've been doing a number of very beneficial stakeholder outreach in regards to connectivity to the various stations, in particular to Montreal Station. I just wanted to understand how that feedback from the community, cycling groups, seniors groups, community associations is going to feed into what we see in terms of the final designs of not just Montreal Station, but all of the stations.
Right. So we've taken that information, and through the various technical advisory committees and the public consultation, we've distilled that down into essentially a variation request that we've put to the designer for stage two that's been submitted. And we're looking for their feedback on costing, on timing, on designs. And then once we have that information, especially on costing, then we'll have a good sense of how we can proceed, and, you know, are there elements that we need to defer, or is there an opportunity to add more elements in? Once we have that feedback, we would need to come back to the community, you know, when there's kind of a decision point to say, you know, these are the things that we are able to include, these are the things that we need to perhaps work with transportation planning on to include in the longer term. So at this point, we're essentially waiting for feedback from the designer on what the costing might look like and what how they can incorporate the design solutions into the build.
And I had just a point of clarification. That wasn't me squeaking, by the way. Sorry, it was my dog toy. Or maybe it was me. So quick question. That's so distracting. You mentioned that some of the Ahlstrom vehicles are being built in Brampton. I just wanted some clarification. I thought our facility here was capable of building the trains, and I'm just curious as to why we're bringing them in from Brampton or what the difference is. I just want some clarity in respect to that.
Yeah, I think so. you know, when the build was initiated, they were all going to be, the final assembly was all going to be done in Ottawa, and they've done the first 34 vehicles from the stage one order, and they got a good start on the next 12 vehicles from the stage two order. But at some point, Alstom decided that it would be more efficient if they had a dedicated facility elsewhere, so that they didn't interfere with any of the maintenance activity. Kind of gives them broader, you know, they've got a big facility here in Ottawa now, and so it gives them kind of full capacity to move the vehicles around, do the maintenance that they need to, without the distraction of the manufacturing activity. So, you know, they've made that decision. It's in part because they also have another order for vehicles being delivered into the GTA. And so there's going to be two production lines there for vehicles, for probably for our project plus two other projects. You know, I think we've seen some benefit in that. We had the team go and have a look at the Brampton facility. They said it's impressive. They're very well organized. They've got a good setup there. So I think, you know, that's really within Alstom's remit to make that decision. And they've decided for the remainder of the fleet that they're going to build them in Brampton.
Okay, and then of course, OC Transpo will have final sign-off on the quality of the trains prior to
Yeah, so the vehicles, you know, they'll be assembled there. They get broken apart and put on trucks, shipped to the Ottawa site. They get kind of put back together. There's some final testing they'll do in the shop. Then we'll put them on the line out of service for roughly 1,000 kilometers just to make sure, you know, 1,000 kilometers fault-free to make sure that they work and, you know, work out any kinks or issues that they have. And then there's a final inspection that OC Transpo does and my team does before final sign-off and handover to put them into service for use with passengers.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Eglie, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Morgan, just following up a little bit on questions from Councillor Dudas, what would you say is the single biggest lesson learned or repair necessary coming out of stage one vehicles that has been incorporated or fixed in stage two?
I think that probably the biggest issue that we saw was with the power electronics on the roof. I think that issue where, you know, last winter we had water and salt and other things getting into the inductors and shorting out those inductors and losing power and stranding those vehicles, that was probably the most critical issue that we saw. And so that's you know, there's a variety of kind of things that come out of that. There's the inductors themselves that need to be all replaced. There's a special cover that is being installed. There's a series of software updates that are being applied to be able to allow the operator to better handle that scenario. That's probably the biggest the biggest thing. You know, seeing so that, you know, obviously got a lot of attention. Because it affected the fleet count in a very bad way. And then the wheel flats being the second one, and that's really an integration issue between, there's a variety of detection systems, the train control system, the braking system. That one had more tentacles that needed to be fixed, but those are probably the two biggest things that reduced the fleet count. Yeah, you asked for the single biggest thing, but I will keep
going. No, fair enough. I appreciate the broader answer. And I guess the follow-up question to that, Michael, is you've said on several occasions that as issues are remedied or identified, then the fix is incorporated into the stage two trains. So the vehicle we're going to get at the end of the day will be different than what we first got with stage one. Can you run us through how that process works? Who flags that? Is there an obligation on the consortium running stage one to say, oh, we have a problem here, or and then flag that for the constructors? Or is it something that your office is responsible for monitoring and then flagging for the constructors? So what's the chain of evidence, if you will, to get from flaw to fix?
I mean, the responsibility is primarily with the consortium, you know, with Rideau Transit Group, and they have a constructor that's building the vehicles, and they have a maintainer that's operating them. And so it's, you know, it's in their best interest to ensure that all of the fixes are included. Now some of the fixes, for example, we did a train control software update. If that fix wasn't applied, it wouldn't work. Like the train would be unusable on stage two. Now something maybe less, you know, that would stop the train from operating, but something like the door software, if it wasn't updated, the train would still operate. And so in that case, it's first incumbent on the builder and the maintainer to check that they're doing the right thing. But then we also have a process where we check the car history book, which is essentially kind of a document that indicates the software versions, the configuration management status for the vehicle. So we do a final check of that before we accept the vehicle. So it's with
them. Well, I guess where I'm going with this is does your office, does the city represented by your office have the authority and the leverage to impose the fixes on the constructor? If you follow me.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have the levers through the contract to impose fixes. You know, if they were to suggest that a fix wasn't required, we do have some ability to impose those fixes on that team.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Great, thank you. Councillor Tierney, please.
Great, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Michael. I actually wanted to give a bit of a shout out to Allison from your wonderful crew over there. She's helped deal with, you know, with any large construction, there'll be little issues, dirt and parking lots, et cetera, et cetera. And she has been absolutely fabulous in making sure that all the construction industry stays on side and respects the neighborhoods that we're in. So I just want to say thank you for that. Resolved many, many issues very, very quickly. And I also want to apologize for so many hours that we've spent speaking with you between my community associations and homeowner groups, as well as even Bike Ottawa East. We had a great discussion about the pathway segments. And I believe we're still working on that one major concern that we see on the on-ramp of Montreal Road. You guys were taking it back and recooking it because it's frankly too dangerous in my mind. Is that still underway, that work?
Yep, it's still underway. This team is still looking at, they're doing a review with the signals team. I believe they also brought in Alta to have a look as well.
That's wonderful news, and I look forward to seeing what new configurations come back out of that. Really, that's all I have. Most of the questions are already asked, and I know people want to get through this, but thank you again. I know there'll be many more meetings, and there was only one real question I had at the end. How are we looking on timelines about, I know we're probably still a while out, about the route configurations and designs for the stations, because obviously my neighborhood's going to really love the Montreal Road station. And when are we going to start going to the public? I remember there was a timeline, but it's slipping my mind right now. Can you refresh my memory?
I'll have to check with Pat on how far out from the launch date he would start that process. But we can reconfirm with your office when that would be.
That's wonderful, because I'm getting a lot of feedback now where Richcraft sends Flex East, currently doesn't have service. This is a good opportunity to link it up to Montreal Road Station, as well as many other areas in the Beacon Hill South area that would really appreciate it. So I'll link back up with Pat, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Luloff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to echo Councillor Tierney's comments. Allison has been absolutely incredible working with our office. I know that she's moving on now to communications for stage two, so looking forward to working with Ethel. Just wondering, Mr. Morgan, if you might be able to give me a quick update on the design phase of the sound barrier along the 174. I know a lot of residents are really concerned about both construction noise and the, you know, historical issues of noise on the 174. So just wondering kind of where the team is at on that project.
Yeah, so I had a check in the other day with the consortium just to kind of get an update. I know we have a meeting scheduled with your team shortly to kind of go over some particular items. In some areas, there, you know, there are no concerns. We're just waiting for the design to progress. Like, we no property concerns. It's really just a matter of getting it into the program of design. And, you know, we raised it with the project director, and John was there at the same time, just to kind of flag that that was important, because you've been asking about it. On the one side of the road where we have, you know, you've got a multi-use pathway, and then you've got the Hydro One interface, and then you've got kind of a series of small berms that exist today. You know, there's a little bit more design work that needs to be done there. And so we need to have a bit of a discussion and potentially some consultations about what is going to be done in that location. We're still looking at doing the design kind of this year into early next year, with potentially, again, the request was made to try to get some of those sound barriers in as quickly as possible, still with the idea that we could start some of that next year, but I don't have confirmation yet. I've been trying to confirm that with the consortium in order to kind of give you some assurance as to when that will be mitigated.
Okay, perfect. Really appreciate that that update. Also wondering if you might be able to provide me a little bit of information about where the team is at on the reconfiguration of the overpass at Jeanne d'Arc. I know that, you know, prior to the pandemic, we were, you know, hoping that construction would begin, you know, the spring that just passed. So just kind of wondering where the team's at on that one.
Yeah, so the builder has been, you know, 100% focused on segment 7, which is really the segment between Blair Station and Montreal Road. That's kind of been their critical path. We're expecting that work to wrap up pretty shortly. And the latest update I have is that they're, you know, if they can free up the crews from that work, that potentially they could start that Jeanne d'Arc reconfiguration in October.
Okay, that's great news for the community. I really appreciate you guys front loading that. I've received quite a few comments from both residents and OC Transpo drivers themselves about how incredibly quickly and well the work is progressing along the 174 between those two stations that you just mentioned. So great work on that, and keep it up. Really appreciate your work. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cavanaugh, second round.
Thank you very much. Following a question from Councillor Dudas, in terms of connectivity, it strikes me that we're all looking at connectivity, and perhaps we need a separate presentation on that of what the standards will be. So, because it feels like we're all kind of working in pods with our communities, but I'm sure that there's a set of standards that we all would like to see. For example, to have it so they're you can get there in winter, so that they're winter cleared, that there's lighting, that kind of thing. And I'm wondering if that's possible, because I think we all have a commonality. We want people to get to these wonderful stations. And so the connectivity is crucial. So is that possible?
Yeah, of course. You know, there's a variety of groups that we need to pull into the mix for those discussions. You know, especially as, you know, through your area, some of the multi-use pathways are in NCC land, you know, so we need to get back to, there's a variety of stakeholders internally that kind of share responsibility for lighting and winter maintenance and different things. And so we would need to coordinate something, but we absolutely can have a discussion on that and a consultation on what the standard is and what's the best practice in terms of, you know, getting to the stations and maintaining those pathways.
Yeah, notwithstanding that extra complication, I'm dealing with NCC, of course, but we still should have standards, because we're talking about getting to our stations. So if we, and others may have NCC land as well, but I think that's important that there's some consistency, so that it's not one standard one place and one another. So I just like to see some sort of presentation that shows we're working towards that.
Okay.
Anything else, Councillor?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Councillor Olshantieri, please.
Just a quick question. Thank you, Mr. Morgan, for your presentation. And would it have been possible to send us the video, Mr. Morgan, and the presentation to our council?
Yes, absolutely. I'll have the team send that out.
Thank you very much, and great presentation, sir.
Thank you.
And Councillor Olshantir, my office just tweeted it out with a French and English message as well. So that's an option for you.
We would like to have it on our, Mr. Mayor, so we can forward to our resident as well.
Yeah, great. Okay, Michael, thank you very much. Great presentation.